Show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, the Bucks extend their season. There will be a Game 6 Thursday night in Indianapolis, or Thursday afternoon, I suppose I should say. It's a 5:30 tip. But we get there to a Game 6 because of the performance of not just one player. This was across the board. Some of these performances we saw tonight from the Bucks. Another masterpiece from Chris Middleton, a playoff career high, and big response from Bobby Portis. Pat Beverly with impactful minutes on both ends of the floor. Even Malik Beasley. Once again, two consecutive big offensive games from Malik Beasley. The Milwaukee Bucks are right back in this series now, down 3-2, and starting to put that pressure on the Indiana Pacers. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Buck Talk, whether you're listening in Milwaukee on WTMJ or Madison on ESPN. Madison will take your calls, your texts, your thoughts on this Bucks performance tonight. Some of those comments, I'm sure that's the big thing you'll all start to dig into here. The last few answers we heard from Doc Rivers about the status of his stars, whether or not we could potentially see Giannis and or Damian Lillard as early as game number 6. But I think we've seen twice in this series the Bucks win without Giannis, and now we've seen once the Bucks win without Giannis and Damian Lillard. The approach for this team, and to be clear, I don't think the approach for the team has changed. I think the approach is very much, we have to go in this with our preparation, our mindset, everything, that we are playing without Giannis and Damian Lillard. Everything we draw up, everything we diagram, that's the mindset. That's the way we're playing. That's the sets that we're running here. If we get them back or one of the two back, great. But that is not our approach. And you have seen the ability to do that. We said this after the loss in Game 4, as frustrating as it was. The Bucks were right back in that. Had a chance to win it. Hot shooting by the Indiana Pacers ultimately spoiled that. Going back to Game 3, I said, if the Bucks do in fact lose this series, the loss in Game 3 may be what proves to be the death knell, because that was right there for the taking. You had a very good chance to win that. You got an absolutely incredible performance from Chris Middleton. But the big piece of this, even before we knew about the injury to Damian Lillard, we didn't hear about that until Doc Rivers spoke after the game. Even before we knew that, just looking at things and knowing you don't have Giannis yet, you may not get Giannis back in this series. That game was there for the taking. You can get performances like tonight, and maybe this is the new trend. Maybe some of those things we heard from Doc Rivers about some of the adjustments and shifts they made to the perimeter and how they defended the Pacers' three-point shooting in this game. Maybe that's going to be the new norm in this series. But asking an undermanned group to win two games, you might be able to do that. Asking to win three is a pretty, pretty big lift. Nights like tonight kind of back that up. If you stole that game, and not even steal, to be clear, if you took that game on Friday night, you are now headed to Indianapolis up 3-2. Knowing you may not have Giannis, you may not have Damian Lillard, but you got two cracks to win that one game. Maybe you get a shooting variance game. Maybe the Pacers don't know how to close out a series. And let's be frank, they may not know that. Pascal Siakam has the most postseason experience on that team. It is half as many playoff games as players like Brook Lopez, like Chris Middleton, like Bobby Portis, and Pat Beverly, for that matter, have played in. The experience is clearly on the Bucks' side. You're still going to have to put yourself in a spot to get to Milwaukee. You can't win the series Thursday night. But if you do win Thursday night, it starts to put the pressure firmly on the Indiana Pacers. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A few texts trickling in. We'll get to those and re-examine some of those comments from Doc Rivers. What do you take from that? when asked about the chance that we see Giannis and or Damian Lillard return in this series. We'll take a look at that and some of the comments about the defense, what they did differently, especially in the second half. We'll do that next on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. Bucks Talk.
Bucks keep their season alive tonight, thumping the Indiana Pacers, a 23-point win. Game they led by as many as 27. This was close at halftime. 5-point Bucks lead. It was an 8-point Pacers game after the first quarter where the pace was certainly fitting what Indiana wanted to do, but things would shift heavily starting in the second quarter, and that carried through throughout the game. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. Dick, you're a man of your word. You said you were going to call in tonight, and I believe you said it would not be the last game of the season either.
Well, that's after the professor in North Carolina said it, and, I mean, he's a god to me. You got to quit talking about Friday night because I start bleeding again all over again. I don't want to do that. But you know what won it tonight was defense and coaching and how the coaching used the rotations. It was great, just tremendous. But my main reason for calling in tonight is to, and I hope I get an honest response from you on this. I was watching 6 o'clock sports on WISN here in Milwaukee. I don't know what it is in Madison. But I'm not even going to use his name, but the sports guy was at Pfizer Forum, and he starts his show in the atrium right next to the Bucks Pro Shop. And you could tell he was irritated. He said, yep, we're here in right next to the Bucks Pro Shop because we were booted out of the arena floor. They closed everything off.
Yep.
Everyone had to leave. He said, but from where he was standing, and I know this is true because I've heard Marquette games there out in that area, squeaking of the floors and everything else. And he said, it sounds like it's just not a walkthrough, which it was supposed to be. It sounded like more of a practice. Yep. And I assume you and Dave were there up in your little nest across from the visitor's bench. What did you see? And tell us what happened.
Okay, so we were not there. The Bucks have done this frequently.
Oh, they kicked you out too?
Yeah, and not even we are permitted. Yeah, not even we are permitted to be in there. So the Bucks have started to do this more and more. It is not common where you have the Arena Bowl closed for a, I don't know what you would even call it, a shoot around, a walkthrough, a practice of sorts, but they've done it somewhat frequently under Doc Rivers. It's typically for about 30 minutes that we'll get that. It's shortly before Doc Rivers talks to the media. A lot of times when they do it, though, it'll be coming off of a road trip or off of an off day, or they played a later game a couple of days prior where the rationale is we don't want to do a shoot-around or a walkthrough in the morning and have a quick turnaround for those guys, so we're just going to put it to later in the afternoon. Today was a little different because they did an actual shoot-around earlier today at the practice facility, and they did the same thing today, and it was longer than usual. So it got a lot of conspiracy theorists going of, oh, well, does this mean we're going to see Giannis? Are they testing Giannis? I don't know what happened in that because we were not in there.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess, you know, my heart's saying, you know, they probably worked in Giannis and Dame tonight, but they didn't want Indiana to see it. No one to see it.
Well,
or the other part
real
of it,
quick, real
is,
quick,
is,
Dick.
It's just gamesmanship. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. But real quick, look, Doc Rivers said no, and I don't have any reason to not believe this. I don't think they worked out Dame. I would be surprised if we see Damian Lillard in this series, even if it extends to 7 games. I think the question is, can you get Giannis back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Anthony Davis last night played with one arm. I know our legs are totally different, but, you know, we're pushing the 3-week interval here.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're at 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wrestle with my own brain here. I think, no, if he can't go 100%, don't bring him back. There's a part of me that wants to win that says, Jesus, if he comes back and just is at 80%,
yeah,
he can be
a
decoy,
confident.
He can be whatever. But, damn, if we cannot blow an Achilles, because that'll affect next year. And that's the thing. And I guess, and I don't know how many other people agree with me on this, but, you know, next year really should be our year with Doc at the helm for the whole thing, and maybe year after. But after that, Bucks fans, be prepared. It's going to be lean pickings unless we can get a lot of people to come to play with Giannis if he stays here. But, okay, well, I was hoping there would be some beautiful noise you could give us tonight from that. And I'm disappointed, Justin, but I guess that's the truth. You can't tell us anything but the truth.
Yeah, no, I can't help you out there. Thanks for the call, Dick. Yeah, nobody had eyes on that. Not anybody with the Pacers. The only people that were permitted in that were actual members of the staff and media relations for the Bucks and the players, but none of us had seen or had access to any portion of the arena while that was happening, and that was about 2.5 hours before tip that was taking place. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, this a convincing win by the Bucks to keep their season alive. Let's head back to the phone lines. I'm assuming he was here tonight. Will I am in Milwaukee. You're up next. Were you here for Game 5?
I sure was, Justin. And first things first, Bucks in seven. Was there for this epic beatdown where it seemed like the bully, Indiana Pacers, kept trying to take our lunch money, not allowing us to enjoy a nice little meal. So I think our team said enough. And even with the secondary unit out there, going crazy. You know, Justin, when everyone hits double figures in that starting role, everyone's stepping up. Pat Beverly plus 36. Bobby Portis keeping his composure, doing Bobby-like things. And then just all around the Bucks coming together. Great rotations like Dick from Port Washington just said. That team is the team we've needed this whole series. That intensity, the ability to, you know, we get pushed down, we get right back up. And, man, it felt so good to hear that crowd, Justin. That's how every game should sound. I'm sick of it, man. So sick of it not sounding like that. That whole place was rocking from the moment the ball went up to even leaving, man. I'm so proud of us, Justin. What a game.
I was going to say, you know, shortly before the game started, we had all kind of, all of us up here in the booth, had kind of questioned and talked about, I wonder what the atmosphere is going to be like here, because there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, like, where do things go from here? You don't have Giannis. You don't have Damian Lillard. That's going to take some buzz out of the building because there's not the confidence, right, of, hey, we expect to win. It's kind of a weird spot to be in. So I wondered what it would be like when the game started. I saw a few people reach out, too, of, man, was it even full in there? Because I saw some empty seats. There were empty seats. There were more than you typically see, but, and you can back this up, it was loud. The crowd was very into this, that I think they were just kind of waiting for that release and that moment to buy in, and they got it in the second quarter.
Hey, they sure did. And, you know, not to switch sports, but I think the Bucks saw that Brewers brawl. I think they saw what was coming, and I think they said, hey, this weekend in Wisconsin sports was pretty dog, and we decided to fix that around and get some impressive wins on the diamond and on the court. And Justin, my favorite part was watching us go to Chris Middleton, old faithful, old reliable. I was questioning his legs and his knees, but when Chris is coming at you like that and working the post and getting rebounds, good night, man. They ain't got a chance.
What a night. Thanks for the call, Will. A big win for the Bucks. They keep their season alive. As he mentioned, all the starters scored in double figures. Pat Beverly with a big game. Bobby Portis, a playoff career high, 29 points. Chris Middleton, and oh, by the way, 29 points. Malik Beasley, not to get lost in the shuffle. I do want to spend some time on the performance we saw from Malik Beasley as well. But let's squeeze in one more phone call here. Janelle in Milwaukee, you were also at the game. You're up next.
Hi. Yeah, I've actually been to all three of the games in Milwaukee for this series. And just to kind of piggyback off the previous caller, the energy in the stadium tonight was amazing. Before the game started, there was definitely, I would say, a little bit of a somber overtone, because I think a lot of folks, you know, obviously there's expectations.
Felt like this could be it,
probably. A little beat down. Yeah. Right, right. But I think the crowd also kind of felt a duty to, like, you know, we heard what Halliburton and the Pacers have been saying about how loud the crowd in Indianapolis has been, and Milwaukee's been kind of weak. So I think we kind of took that personal. And, man, I was even up in, like, the nosebleeds of the 200s, and people were just screaming their lungs out. So I think, you know, just for what that's worth, that aspect of it, I can tell you firsthand the energy in the stadium for this game was the best it's been all series. So I hope we can keep that up. I hope we get a chance to.
I was going to say, hopefully we get a chance to keep that up Saturday and then beyond. Thanks for the call, Janelle. As there was certainly an anxiousness that you could feel through the building just before tip-off in that first quarter, too, the back-and-forth play that we saw for most of it. The Pacers were playing at the speed they wanted to for a lot of that quarter and took an 8-point lead. I think the lead got to as many as 10 for Indiana, and that's when you started to feel like, okay, you got to regroup here. And I think the other big part of it was I keep looking back at that series in 2022, a series the Bucks ultimately lost against the Boston Celtics, where that team, and I think a lot of what resonates with these Bucks fans are some of those experiences clearly from 2021, when you think about everything that you were treated to that season, some of those moments in the playoffs. You got to sweep the Miami Heat, a team that Bucks fans hate, and a year after they eliminated you in embarrassing fashion in the bubble, in the playoffs. An epic series with the Brooklyn Nets. That was one of the best playoff series we have seen in decades. The way the team responded and came together after Giannis went down to win two games in the Eastern Conference Finals without him, to bounce back from watching him go down and losing a game where Trae Young did not play and you had a chance to go up 3-1. You lose the game and you lose Giannis, but you bounce back to win those final two games. And then just the magic of knowing NBA Finals games were being played in Milwaukee. A city that, if you go back decades, not even decades, go back 15 years, there was uncertainty over whether or not the Bucks would be in Milwaukee. 10 years. What was the longevity of the Bucks in Milwaukee? Beyond that, even, when you think about everything after that run the Bucks had from the late 70s into the 80s, the futility that we witnessed. If you are a longtime Bucks fan, you are a long-suffering Bucks fan and could not have imagined you would get to witness NBA Finals games. You saw the heart of that team. And I think in 2022, you saw the same thing. They didn't get to properly defend their championship because of the injury to Chris Middleton, but they went out fighting. They should not have stretched that series to 7 games against the Boston Celtics. On paper, without Chris Middleton, the Celtics were a far superior team. But they fought and forced a game 7. Not even forced. They had a chance to close it out in Milwaukee. But regardless, they took it to 7 games when many said they shouldn't have. Now, there's a lot that goes into it on the court and off the court. It's not what we saw last year. I don't know if disappointing is the right word. It was a bizarre year. It was certainly a hectic finish to the season. All of those things that we mentioned going off the court with Coach Budenholzer and his family as well. It was a nightmare of a close to the season for the Bucks. So when you saw the injury report and the status of Giannis and knowing, hey, you may not have him early in this series, and then that became you may not have him at the midpoint of the series, and now it's become you may not have him at all for the series. Oh, by the way, Damian Lillard goes out too. We talked about this just after Game 3. What you wanted to see from this team is you can accept defeat because of what you're up against, but you want them to go out fighting. We saw that in Indianapolis in Game 4, a game you very easily could have won. They certainly went out fighting tonight, and now they haven't even gone out. They have forced a Game 6, which will be Thursday night in Indianapolis. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Speaking of Giannis and Dame, I mentioned some of those comments from Doc Rivers. We'll revisit those, what it could potentially mean for the rest of this series after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk.
23-point home win tonight to force a Game 6 for the Bucks. And really, every single player that stepped foot on the floor tonight contributed in some way. That was one of the other discussions we had after that loss against the Pacers, was it wasn't just shooting. You look at some of the performances by role players in that game, but especially in this series for Indiana, they were getting all of those breaks. The bounces were going the way of the Pacers. It's not complaining. It's the way the game goes, because the Bucks got those bounces and breaks tonight. And again, it's what makes the loss Friday night the frustrating part. Because how much does that change the complexion of this series if you took that game, if you split in Indiana, and this is now a 3-2 Bucks lead going to Indy? Maybe you don't have Giannis, maybe you don't have Damian Lillard, but you got two cracks to win one without them and advance to the second round. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Mike in Shorewood. You're up next.
Hey, what's going on, man? Really impressive performance tonight. Really anxious to see how they would come out, especially after the Pacers really jumped on them early. And you're thinking, oh, man, once the Pacers get up big, they with that offense, they having the best offense in the league, they could just blow a team wide open. And luckily, I think Portis, he needed a tone for that boneheaded ejection, inexcusable in Game 4 by Nembhard. He really was outstanding tonight, one of his best playoff games in recent memory. Him and Middleton really, I think, are the formula for the way the Bucks are going to have to really win the series. When you're down two elite stars in Dame and Giannis, I think tonight we saw the get back to form. Middleton's got to initiate, and then you got to have Portis really take over with his size and attack the Pacers' defense. And so I really loved the way they came out. The defense, I thought, was spectacular. Beverly was the key in that second quarter, really, when they really blew that, started to take the game over from the Pacers. And then obviously Beasley, he was spectacular. He's got to hit shots too as well. So it's got to be all hands on deck when you're missing two elite type players. I think we saw tonight the defense really, you got to force the Pacers to miss those 3-point shots, because that's really gets them going. And tonight you saw, again, when they're missing those shots, the Bucks could really take it to them. So I'm hoping this can translate. I want to get your thoughts now. A huge win with the backs against the wall, but blowing that game the way they did in Game 3, where you should have won that game. It's inexcusable to let them off the hook. Now you're fighting an uphill battle in Indiana. We know it's going to be rocking there. And with their home crowd, they're looking for the knockout shot, because we know they don't want to come back for Game 7. Pfizer, what do you think it's going to take besides Middleton, Portis, and obviously the rest of the guys shoot lights out? How do you think they're going to attack their main guys like Siakam and Halliburton, et cetera, to really win it? Because that's going to be the game. I think if they get it to Game 7, I'm pretty confident in that Pfizer, with the way that place is rocking. I don't see the Pacers with a young team can win a Game 7, just my opinion anyway. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for the call, Mike. It's going to be somebody like Malik Beasley. We said this after Game 4. You need one of those guys. You need somebody to hit shots. You're going to have to hit threes to win this series. They did a lot of good things defensively. As Doc Rivers talked about, they switched everything, even Brook Lopez, and were willing to give up twos. Right? If Pascal Siakam is going to, not to the levels that we saw in Games 1 and 2, but if he's going to get some of those shots, fine. And said, I called a timeout because we were overreacting to it, and said, let him take it. We're not giving up those threes that we were giving up before. There's no coming back from that. When you don't have Giannis and Damian Lillard, if you're outscored by 30 points on threes, you're not going to win. But you need Chris Middleton. You need Bobby Portis. Those guys have to be your constants. They were tonight. But you're going to need somebody to hit shots. A.J. Green, maybe. Malik Beasley has done it now two consecutive games, but you're going to need something like that. Defense is the big part, but who's going to be that tertiary scorer is the other thing that the Bucks are going to need to find consistently. Game 6, and then hopefully in a Game 7. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Let's squeeze in one more call here. Nick, on a cell phone, you were at the game. You're up next.
Hey, thanks for having me. To be honest, kind of just wanted to build off of some of the earlier callers. I drove 6 hours to the game for reference, and I was a little disappointed with how reactionary, I guess, the fans are. And came in, I'm a season ticket holder, row one, so I've been there most games for reference. And pretty much everyone around me, never seen it before in my life, right? Seems like most of the people kind of gave up, sold off their tickets for the game, and then we kind of picked up, obviously, in the second quarter. So I guess I was just kind of mostly thinking, like, how can we as fans and then also as a team kind of stop being so reactionary? We've seen it in the games. We saw, obviously, you know, Bobby Portis last game, for instance, getting ejected and stuff like that. And it seems to kind of just bleed into our culture a little bit right now almost.
Do you live 6 hours away, or you were just coming 6 hours away this time?
That's a good question. I'm working in Minneapolis on a project, so I'm driving back right now actually as well as we speak.
Okay, I was going to say, man, you're a season ticket holder from 6 hours away. Wow.
Yeah, not normally it's only four. So normally I'm actually in like the Eau Claire area, and so it's still a heck of a drive, but definitely happy to do it for the Bucks.
You know, and thanks for the call, Nick. It was a weird feeling in the building. We talked about it before too. I get your points that you want to be there to support the team, and you know you need that atmosphere and the energy. We've heard Bobby Portis and Pat Beverly and others talk about it. It's a very weird spot. It's one that the Bucks and fans have not been in. No team has really been in this spot. We mentioned the number that this is the first time in 14 tries that an NBA team has won a playoff game with their top two leading scorers out of the lineup. It's a pesky, annoying Pacers team that had your number during the regular season. You're down in the series. Oh, by the way, you have the two guys that fans are really coming here to see and that are going to carry your offense. It's a weird spot to be in. But I will say what you saw as the game progressed. I get your point of you don't want to be reactionary. You want to be there from the start. But at least we heard the volume. And you saw how much the crowd was engaged in this as the game went on. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A few more calls to get to. Also, some of those comments we mentioned from Doc Rivers, specifically about the potential return of Giannis and Damian Lillard. We will hear that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk to Bucks Talk.
Bucks force a game 6 with an impressive win over the Indiana Pacers tonight at Fiserv Forum, 115-92. Second time in this series the Bucks have held the Pacers under 100 points. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Let's grab one more call here. David in Mequonago, you're up next.
Yeah, I just really liked how the Bucks used their rotations tonight. I just really liked how they kept subbing in guys. And I really liked how they brought in Danilo Gallinari to play. I think just him in there added some veteran presence, some calmness. And then I really, Pat Beverly, you can't overstate how great he played in this game. And I really like how he handled the ball pressure from the Pacers. And I just think he provided that intensity that pushed the Bucks over the hump to win. So I'm looking forward to the next game, and I hope they can carry it through.
Yeah, thanks for the call, David. Danilo Gallinari, we had not seen him much in a Bucks uniform. We didn't see him early in this series. Doc Rivers said before Game 4, there's a guy that hasn't played yet who's going to see some floor time in Game 4, and that was Danilo Gallinari. You saw him go to work on the baseline with some of those jumpers that the Bucks are familiar with dating back to the Eastern Conference Finals when he was a member of the Atlanta Hawks in 2021. But your point about the veteran presence, the ability to handle the ball as well, and Danilo Gallinari's passing. He does not take bad shots, and I think that's the other part that Pat Beverley brings. He doesn't take bad shots. There are no heat checks or forced shots. He gets into the paint. He touches the paint. He will drive, kick, stay in the paint, do whatever it does to bend the defense. And he knows exactly what Doc Rivers wants to run. Both of these guys from their time with Doc with the Los Angeles Clippers. So I think those minutes were certainly important. And that's the other big part of this is I'm not saying you can't play the young guys, because we've seen some valuable minutes and impact from Andre Jackson Jr. and A.J. Green. But the interesting part of this game tonight was it was the vets. Those were the guys that carried the water for the Bucks. 29 and 29 from Bobby and Chris. Malik Beasley with 18 points. Pat Beverley in the performance we talked about there. Danilo and what he gave you off the bench. Pat Connaughton scored 9 points, had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. So this was a vet game for the Bucks. And again, when you talk about experience, you wonder if that's going to be the story of the rest of this series. I mentioned those comments from Doc Rivers. We will replay those, revisit what he had to say about the possibility of Giannis and or Damian Lillard returning for the final games of this series. We'll do that and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
I'll say it again.
Way to sell a home.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
How does winning this game and getting a couple extra days for Game 6 just affect the injury timelines, Giannis and Dame? Is there a chance that is extending this series that you guys, you know, hope to get them on the floor?
I don't know how to answer that. I know I hope. I think they're very, very, very close.
All right, that is head coach Doc Rivers. That was the million-dollar question. Extending the series, what does that mean for Giannis and Damian Lillard? Take from that what you will. They are very, very, very close, was what Doc Rivers had to say there. If I had to guess which of the two is more likely to play, my money would be on Giannis over Damian Lillard. If you could get both those guys back, great. I think you certainly have to feel very, very good about what you've seen in this series. And that's the other thing, is even being without Giannis, playing the last game without Giannis and Damian Lillard, the Bucks could have very easily been up 3-1 coming into play tonight. And we kept saying, this is not at all meant to be disrespectful, even though it may come off as such, to the Indiana Pacers. This Pacers team is not the Miami Heat from a year ago. That's why we said after Game 4, I know it looks bleak. I know you don't have Giannis or Dame. I know we don't know if they'll return or when. But trust me, the series is not over yet. Young teams still have to figure out how to close things out. And this is just not the same beast the Bucks were up against a season ago. Granted, the Bucks are not the same team either, especially without those two big pieces. But the series isn't over. It's not a foregone conclusion. This is still a series. The Bucks have shown tonight and have shown for large stretches of all of those games. They can still win this. Your margin for error is razor thin. But you still have a chance. And I think really dating back to those games in Indy, I think you could say, hey, the Bucks played better than the Pacers. The story was Pacers made some shots late in Game 3. And that start to the Game 2. You can't. That is the number one thing for Thursday. You cannot dig yourself a double-digit hole early in that game. It's one thing to come back from down 10 early in the second, first quarter, as the Bucks did tonight, at home. It's another thing to make that ask on the road where you potentially don't have your top two leading scorers in a building where that team has not advanced out of the first round in over a decade. Very similar to where the Bucks were back in 2019. You can't get off to a bad start. We said the same thing tonight. The Bucks avoided that. Can't dig yourself a hole. That is going to be a rabid atmosphere. It's going to be an anxious atmosphere for all the reasons we said tonight with Bucks fans. Pacers fans are going to be in the same boat of, man, we were up 3-1. They didn't have Giannis. They didn't have Damian Lillard. We better win this, because if we go back to Milwaukee, it starts to get interesting. And that's where we're at. I don't know if you can say we've got a series. If the Bucks win on Thursday, you can definitely say we've got a series. Thursday night, game number 6, the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. That is a 5:30 tip-off. 5 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.